I'd speak about Zechariah's song. That's the song that Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, sang when he was born. So we're going to have a look at that. It's Luke chapter 1 and verse 5 onwards. So if you have a Bible with you, if you can just pop to there, right at the start of Luke's Gospel. Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. I'm just going to go straight in. Luke chapter 1. Did I say John? John the Baptist. John the Baptist's dad, Zechariah. I think some versions have Zecharias, some versions have Zechariah. Okie dokie. So we're going to read from verse 5. Let's just pray, shall we? Lord, we want to thank you for your word. Please speak into our lives this morning. Help us to get something fresh from your word and to live it out, Lord, we pray. We just surrender to you this morning and ask for your wisdom, Lord, and for your application for our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, and blameless. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. So it was, while he was serving as a priest before God, in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right hand side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." And the angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you to bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not be able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." And the people waited for Zechariah and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. But when he came out, he could not speak to them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them and remained speechless. So it was, as soon as the days of his service were completed, that he departed to his own house. After those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, "Thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people." And then we're going to move to verse 57. Now Elizabeth's full time came for her to be delivered, and she brought forth a son. When her neighbors and relatives heard how the Lord had shown great mercy to her, they rejoiced with her. So it was on the eighth day that they came to circumcise the child. And they would have called him by the name of his father, Zechariah. His mother answered and said, "No, he should be called John." But they said to her, "There is no one among your relatives who is called by this name." So they made signs to his father what he would have him called. So he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, saying, "His name is John." So they all marveled. Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, praising God. Then fear came on all who dwelt around them. And all these things were discussed throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all those who heard them came. kept them in their hearts, saying, what kind of child will this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. Now his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, with whom the dayspring from on high has visited us, to give light to all those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. So the child grew and became strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his manifestation to Israel. So we're going to unpack that a little bit this morning, and I've got some practical stuff for you to do a little bit later on as well. So don't get too comfortable. A little panicking now. Love it. Okay. So first of all, a few points I want to make about this amazing song. It really is an incredible song. First of all, it's a song of grace. What does grace mean? Favor. Unmerited favor, something that we don't deserve, a gift. So it's not something that we've earned. That's what grace is. And this is a song of grace. Why is it a song of grace? Well, it's a song of grace for Zechariah and Elizabeth, really, first of all, because they couldn't have children. And they were well advanced in years. Can you think of a couple who were really well advanced in years in Scripture who couldn't have kids? Sarah and Abraham. There's a lot of parallels here. And it's almost like God wanted to do something new. And he did something, he repeated something that he'd done in the past, where a really old couple were able to have kids and bless them in order for them to be a sign. He did it under the covenant with Abraham. They were too old to have kids, and in fact, they were in their 90s. Just imagine that, having kids in your 90s, what a sign from God. Pretty incredible, yeah. But God did it again. Here's a really old couple, and God did a miracle and made the wife become pregnant, Elizabeth, and it would have been an incredible sign at the time. And they would have been feeling, in that culture, to not have children was a real big thing. They would have maybe been beating themselves up and thinking, well, you know, what is it about us that we can't have kids? Is God angry with us or something? That's probably how they would have thought, needlessly, but that's probably their thinking mechanism. And yet God had great favor for them and wanted to bless them. And there was purpose in all that happened. And it was only really when he went into the temple that he saw that true purpose. So that child was a blessing to them. It was a sign of grace. No wonder he sang this song. It's a song saying, Lord, thank you. What we couldn't do in our own abilities, you've done. I know today we've got fertility treatments, so we can help out that process. But in those days, there was no such thing as fertility treatment. It was, Lord, please break through here. And he did. He did an incredible thing. He did above and beyond what they could do as people. So it was a great blessing to them, but also when you think about it, the song is also an expression of thanks to God as well, because he was chosen. Out of all the priests, this guy, Zechariah, was chosen to burn incense before the Lord. This was such a privilege, because at this time there would have been about 20,000 priests. So that's quite a few people working in the temple. The temple wasn't like a little building. It was massive, absolutely huge. You can go up on the Temple Mount at the minute in Jerusalem. You can see how big the area is. It's a massive, great big area. Well, just imagine that was a huge temple that was built at the time with great big courts and everything. And it housed thousands and thousands of people. So for 20,000 priests working in this place, and they would cast lots to see who would be responsible for burning the incense. And this would be a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. You could only do it once, and the lot fell on Zechariah. So he went in. He was chosen by God. It was God's favor on his life, God's grace that he was chosen to do this. And he would have gone into the temple. The huge temple gates would have been opened. There would have been three silver blasts, a silver trumpet blast from the priests standing at the top of the temple. And they would have summoned people to come and worship. The altar would have been cleaned by one of the priests. And the live coals would have been taken from the burnt offering on the altar by another. Then Zechariah would have bought the golden censer, you know, like in some traditional churches have these swingy censers and stuff. He would have bought that, and he would have taken the coals, put it in the censer, and it would have been like sweet-smelling incense. And then he would have gone into the temple and gone into an area which was very holy. Not the Holy of Holies. The high priest was the only person who could go into the Holy of Holies, and that was behind the curtain. Imagine this, well, like this curtain here, but thicker. Now, Sarah's not the high priest. Don't get confused. But just imagine that. See, we got a curtain here this morning. He would have gone into a real holy place, and it was the room just before you go through that curtain into where the Ark of the Covenant is. So in his room, where he was, there would have been the table on it with the showbread, which was bread that was in the presence of the Lord. There would have been the candlestick, that seven-branch candlestick called the menorah, that would have been burning. All of these things that God had said to design as symbols for heaven, if you like, the dwelling place of God. He had the privilege to go into that place and to burn incense. And we know that incense is like a picture in the Bible of prayers and worship. So what a privilege. What a song of grace. So this song which is bursting out of him is a song of happiness, saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you for answering our prayers for this child. But Lord, thank you also for the privilege of your grace that you chose me. And we can think about that, can't we? We can think about our song this morning as we're singing. We've got a song of grace to bring to God. Say, Lord, thank you for choosing me. Thank you for coming into my life. Thank you for favor. Things that I don't deserve. I haven't earned the right to come into your presence, Lord, but you've done it. It's a gift from you. You've opened up that way. I can go right, not only into that place where he went, Zechariah, I can actually go through that curtain right into the Holy of Holies because of what Jesus has done. Completely by grace, completely by favor. And I wonder sometimes if we just take the grace of God for granted. Think about the goodness, the gifts that God has given to us. How many things has he given to us that we don't even think about? You know, it's not until we lose some of our faculties, is it, that if we realize what a blessing to have faculties in the first place, you know, to have hearing, eyesight, or whatever it is, you know, with regard to our bodies. It's not until we lose part of our bodies that we realize just how much we were grateful for what we had. And Lord, we just want to say thank you for the way that you've made us, the gifts that you give so freely, physical gifts, gifts of friendships, relationships, but Lord, also grace in terms of salvation. So that's the first thing that this song is expressing. It's a song of grace. But when you think about the child and his name, what does the name John mean? Does anyone know? It's to do with gift, yes. It is to do with grace again. John's name literally means the Lord has shown favor or grace. That's what it means. And it's a Hebrew word, and that's exactly how you translate it. So in English, we just think John. It doesn't, all right, John, got a new motor or whatever, you know. that's what it sounds like in our language. But in the original language, you know, a bit like some names, like Sonny. You know, if I say the word Sonny to you, we know someone called Sonny. If I say that, you think about a sunny day, don't you? You think about the sun. If I say John, we don't think about anything. We just think, hello, John, got a new motor. But if you were living in that culture, the name John, straight away you'd think about grace. God's great. The Lord is gracious. The Lord is giving. The Lord is favorable. And that's why there was a big kerfuffle about what will his name be. Because God had purpose in John the Baptist. God was doing something new. There'd been a whole time before John, and John was at the end of this time period, when the people of Israel, remember the laws that they had on Mount Sinai from Moses? They were trying to live by these laws of God, and they were messing up time and time and time again. And they were coming under condemnation, they were feeling condemned, beating themselves up. They couldn't keep God's laws. They kept messing up. But now was coming a time, not of law, a time of grace. A time when God would say, okay, you've messed up, you've transgressed my laws, you haven't kept them. But what I'm going to do, I'm going to give you as a free gift the righteousness you're looking for, the goodness. Almost like we've completed all of God's rules and yet we're considered to be righteous and holy. That's the time period that's coming up. And it's with John that this new day is being proclaimed, a day of grace, a day of favor. And that's the time frame that we're living in today. We're able to access this grace of God and say, Lord, we know that we can't get to heaven by doing good works. No matter how hard I try, I'm not going to make it. I'm going to fall short. But because of what you've already done on the cross for me, you give me that free gift of goodness, of righteousness, almost like I've lived a perfect life. I've done nothing to deserve it, but I can just receive it and I can go right into your presence. And this is what John means, favor of God. That's why when they said, well, why don't you just call him Zechariah after his father? That's the normal thing to do. He was going, give me a tablet, I want to write down. And he wrote down, no, his name is the Lord is gracious, because it was a new day that was springing forth. So it's a song of grace. The second thing is this. This is a song of release and freedom. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you wanted to say something, but you couldn't say it. Often, is it? Every day. You've thought about something, I want to say that, but you don't dare for whatever reason. Or maybe you're tongue-tied, you're nervous, or... I had a fit when I was younger, and this was just as I was dropping off to sleep. We don't know what caused it. It was just one of those things. But I do remember having this fit, and I was convulsing and shaking and stuff, and my parents came and found me. And then they were asking me, are you okay? And I could not speak. I couldn't answer. I couldn't talk. And it was strange. I wanted to talk, and I couldn't, because I felt really sick, and I was trying to say to them, I think I'm going to be sick. But I couldn't actually communicate that. And they sort of worked out that I was feeling a bit sick. I don't know how they worked it out, but they took me into the toilet. By the morning, I was fine, and I could speak. They were really concerned. I think they were thinking, what's it going to be like in the morning? But I was fine by the morning, and was taken to the doctor, and I was on tablets for quite a few years for that, actually. But that was a strange experience of not being able to speak, wanting to speak, but not being able to. And Zechariah must have felt a bit like that when he came out of the presence of the Lord. And we think, why on earth did that happen? Why would God do that? Well, God did it because he was speaking out words of doubt that God would actually bring this to pass. And we know how important John the Baptist was going to be. He was bringing in this new era of grace, God's favor, God's goodness, the free gift of God. He was bringing this in. He was preaching the law, God's laws, but in a way of preparing people to turn to Jesus. So he was pointing to Jesus. He was saying, live by God's laws, by his rules, God knowing that they really couldn't fulfill that, but knowing that the answer was Jesus. So he was a key individual. So just imagine that, coming out of God's presence and not being able to speak any words of unbelief anymore, not being able to speak any words until this moment. Think about what a release that must have been when his tongue suddenly kicked in. And it was at that moment that he acknowledged his name is to be called Favor of God, the Grace of God. As he wrote that down, there came a release. And I think it's as we praise, as we declare God's goodness, as we speak words of truth, that release comes into our lives. You know, we can speak words of doubt, but that's going to tie us up. It's going to get us into bondage. It's as we speak God's truth that real freedom comes into our lives. And we might be going through a real tough time, and the temptation might be to speak negatively, to speak, oh, the Lord's not going to do it, oh, and grumble as the children of Israel did in the desert, or maybe to gossip, oh, how many times are they going to do that? Let's be honest, with these tongues, they can be quite difficult to control at times, can't they? And God wants us to actually be filled with his Spirit and to learn to speak words which are going to be words that build others up and they're going to build us up, and words of faith which are going to speak the truth and speak according to his words. Maybe we've got a dirty tongue that needs to be cleaned up. That's addressed in Scripture. You know, if we're praising God in here on a Sunday, then in the week we're swearing or, you know, trying to show off in front of others, and God would, I believe, just come and say, well, come on, you know, you don't need to do that. You're better than that. You know, you can overcome that, and he can give us the grace to overcome habits of swearing. When I became a Christian, I used to use the F word a lot as a non-Christian. Every other sentence was punctuated with different explicatives, I think you call them, don't you? But very, very soon, because of God's grace, he helped me to tackle that, and he can help each one of us that's struggling with things like that, to clean up our language, to say things which are going to benefit those who are listening and are going to give God glory. So God brought a release to him. Wouldn't it be great if we could just really come into a fullness of everything that God's got for us, be released from the things that bind us, and just come into a real freedom that God wants for each one of us. That's called catharsis, is when you get released, you know. As a psychiatric nurse, we used to talk about catharsis, and catharsis is when someone will suddenly start, for no reason at all, go, start crying and bawling their eyes out, or start laughing. There you go, like you're doing now. Yeah, catharsis. Yeah. Enjoy it. It's your cathartic release. Yeah, a bit of tomfoolery there. It's caused a catharsis this morning. That's great. Completely lost my place in my notes now. Ooh, wonderful. You know, we all need to just let our hair down, don't we? And just have a release. We can't be sort of like serious all the time. There comes a time where we will have to play, or we will have to just sort of lighten the load and let that load go. And that's called catharsis, is when we get a release. And it's a bit like a cork in a bottle, and suddenly the pressure's building up, and then just suddenly it pops. Whoosh. And I wonder what sort of things in our lives there are that just need to be released, you know, that we just need to, Lord, just take this away. You know, just help me to chill, Lord. Help me to come to terms with things that I've been through in my life. Maybe there's pain in our lives that just needs to be healed by God, you know, that we need to just surrender to God. Lord, I know I've been through this and it's affected me. I give it to you. I'm not going to carry that burden anymore. I'm going to give it to you, and I'm going to know that release from you this morning. Or maybe it's people that have spoken to us in a negative way or something, and we just need to say, Lord, I forgive them. I'm not going to hold on to that anymore. I'm not going to have a grudge anymore. I'm going to give it to you, Lord, and I'm going to know that release. Maybe it's that we know that we're bound up with fear of speaking out, of sharing what God has given to us, that he's given us burdens, that he's given us things to do, and we're just fearful. And we just need to know that release, that cork being taken out. And just like Zechariah's tongue, our tongue getting loosed. Maybe we're asking God to fill us with his Spirit. As he comes by his Spirit, as he fills our lives, he will loosen our tongues, just like Zechariah's tongue was loosened, and we'll be able to speak God's words. You know, we're all to be prophetic. It's our inheritance as children of God. We're singing about that this morning, about being a child of God. Well, in the book of Joel prophesied a new era was coming, the time of the Spirit, when your sons and daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams. He was basically saying, it's not just for the privileged few, it's for everyone who's a believer, to be filled with the Spirit of God and to hear what God is saying and to share it. And I believe that God more and more wants to release us and release our tongues to share, to speak out, to pray out, to hear what God is saying and to speak it out, and to do it with boldness. And as we surrender our lives to God afresh and say, Lord, fill me with your Spirit, he'll give us boldness that we could only dream about before. We'll do things that think, well, I never thought I could do that. And that is what we're talking about this morning with Zechariah and this wonderful song. So it's a song of grace, it's a song of release. And then lastly, and this is a bit I'm going to ask you to do a little bit of work on, it's a song of creativity. And it's a song that reflects our creative God. Because it's an incredible song. We're going to have a look at the way it's written in a second. We do have a little... go on. Yes, stick it up, please, my friend. What I've done is I've cut and pasted the exact words from the ESV, the English Standard Version, and I've just highlighted certain words, and I've highlighted colours. Do you see any patterns there? I haven't changed any words there at all. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. The words, it's a mirror, isn't it? So this was a technique. Yeah. You see it? So the green, there's a key word in each section. So the key word is visit or visitation. Yeah? That's the concept that he's getting at in the first line. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. If you look at the last line, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, and guide our feet in a way of peace. That's pretty incredible, isn't it, really? Then the next line, he's raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David to give us knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins. It's a deliberate thing, and this is used in the Middle East, in that culture, to make a point. And the central point that is being made is always in the middle. You know, in our way of thinking, If you're going to come up to a conclusion, the conclusion will be at the end, won't it? You come up with all your points, and the crux of the argument will be right at the end. You know, there we go. Well, in this way of writing, the crux of the argument, the important part, is in the middle. And so we look at the middle, the black bit there. It says, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham to grant us. So the point of this song really is God is remembering his promises, and that's what John the Baptist's life is all about. Just as God, maybe they'd heard from God for themselves, you're going to have kids, but they didn't know if God was going to keep his promise, and then God blessed them and gave them that promise and reminded them. So now they're thinking, well, actually there was a promise made to Abraham many years ago. And the promise to the father of the Jewish people, to Abraham, their father, was, through you, all nations will be blessed. And we know that happened literally through Jesus. And through Jesus, every single nation on earth has been blessed. So the crux of the argument is, we're returning back to the promises of old, the promises that our fathers had. We're inheriting those promises, and we're not ignoring them, we're grabbing hold of them. And in John the Baptist, he's going to live out these promises. It mentions about prophets. It says, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, and it says, and you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High. John the Baptist was, out of all the prophets in the Old Testament, he was the greatest. Remember Jesus said, out of all these prophets, a prophet is someone who hears God and tells people what God is saying. And the prophets predicted this time of grace was coming. But out of all of those prophets, the greatest one is John the Baptist, because he's the one who literally pointed to Jesus. He was the forerunner of Jesus. So he was in the style of these other prophets, but he was the greatest of them all. But Jesus himself said, he who is least in the kingdom of God, and we're in the kingdom of God, is greater than John the Baptist. Because we are living at a time of grace, and we've got access into God's presence. We've got revelation that even John the Baptist didn't have in terms of the relationship that we have with Jesus and what he's done. Remember, John the Baptist even went through a time of thinking, well, are you the one who was promised? And Jesus had to remind him, yeah, I am. Look at the things I'm doing, you know. We live in a time of grace where we can appreciate who Jesus is. It's an honor. It's a favor. And that's really the crux of the song. And what I want us to do now is become a bit more creative. Do you fancy doing that this morning? Yes. Can I have a look at it later? Is that all right?
It's relevant. Well, I think it is. An atheist view on life. I will live my life according to these things. God does not accept. It's just foolish to think that God.
Don't worry. We'll have a look at it afterwards. Okay. But I've got something for you all to work on now, which is going to take a little bit of time. So, right, guys, could I have a volunteer, please, to hand out some paper and pens? And I'd like you to form into groups of, say, 4 people each or something, that sort of number. Try and get with someone who's pretty good at English. to be in charge of your group, yeah? Who can write things down for you. Or maybe just a couple of groups, or it doesn't matter. You don't have to be brilliant at English, but just have the ability to... have a couple of pieces of paper each, yeah, please. Okay, what I want you to do... When you get your pieces of paper, I want you to write down a word that you think describes God that you really appreciate. Something about God in terms of his character or the characteristics of God that you really appreciate. So it might be loving, or it might be faithful or just or gracious. It might be mighty. Some characteristic of God that you really appreciated. So I just want you to write that word. Just come up with something between you very quickly. Don't take a long time over this. And write it down on the top of your sheet. Just one word. What word have you got? Quick as you can. A word which you really appreciate about God. His character. One word. So something that describes his character. Loving, faithful, holy, just, righteous, whatever. Just one word. Something that you appreciate. Can be anything. There's no right and wrong answer in this. Don't use any words like cruel or anything. If you were an atheist, you might want to use or a Satanist or something. But no. Use words that you appreciate about God. Okay, has everyone done it? Just one. Okay, right. Has everyone done it? Every group? You done it? Okay, you've done it. Now, I want you to write a sentence using that word. So a one-line sentence. So if it's loving, because we're going to write a bit of a psalm, yeah? A song to God. So just think, if your word is faithful, Lord, you are always faithful, and I appreciate that. Or something like that. Just a one-line sentence using that word. Okay, have you done that? As quick as you can. Don't need to be perfect. Just simple. Keep it. The KISS principle, keep it simple. You've done it, have you? Have you done it, guys? Have you done it? Are you there? Keep it simple. You can change your word if you want, if it's going to make it easier. Tell me when you're done. Yeah, that sounds good. Right. Now I want to teach you a little principle of Hebrew poetry. In our poetry, we have a line of words, and often at the end of the line, we'll have a rhyme, won't we? You know, so, Mary, Mary, quite contrary. How does your garden grow with silver bells and cockle shells? And the team is all in a row. You know, that's like British poetry. But in Hebrew poetry, you don't necessarily have a rhyme. But what you do have is you'll have a line of words, and then you'll have another line underneath it which says exactly the same thing, but in a slightly different way. An example of this is, I'll give you one example. Psalm 96 verse 1 says, sing to the Lord, Psalm 96 verse 3 says, declare his glory among the nations. And then underneath it says, his wonders among all the peoples. It's saying exactly the same thing. Declare his glory among the nations. And then the next line says, his wonders among all the peoples. It's saying exactly the same thing, but in a slightly different way. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to write another line, but this time I want you to use that same keyword that you first thought of. So if it's faithful, you might have put, Lord, you are always faithful, and I appreciate that. That might be the first line. I want you to write another line which says something different, but still includes that word, whatever the word is, on your piece of paper. So write the same thing again, but in a slightly different way. So come up with another sentence. Yeah, well done. You're in the flow, I tell you. Are you there? Are you all there? What about the youth group? Doesn't need to be perfect. Just keep it simple. Be creative. Just say the same thing again, but in a slightly different way. Are you done? Trish, give him a bit of help. Okay. Right, well, while they're doing that, for the rest of us, next stage is this. I want you to do the same thing again, but using a different word. So again, two more lines, but a different word. Yeah. You've done, say your first word is faithful, so you've done two lines with the word faithful in, both saying something different, but with the word faithful in. I want you to come up with a new word, not faithful, love or loving or tender or gracious, whatever, any other word about God, and come up with a line. If you, yeah, you can do that, that's fine. It doesn't matter if it's in the Bible, it might, a verse of the Bible might come to mind. And again, I want you to do it twice. so use your groups, and you know, different people will appreciate different characteristics of God. Are you getting on this youth group? You're there already, are you? Man, you're motoring now. Yeah. Well done, Trish. Tell me when you're done. Okay, what I want you to do now is think of another word and do it again. Two times again. Yeah, another word. Think of another word to describe God. And again, do it twice. So do one sentence with a different word in, and then repeat it again in a slightly different way. Have you done that yet, guys? Okay, everyone done that? Right, I want you to do it one more time. When I say one more time, as in like, think of another word and do it twice again. You should have 8 lines then of coding. What they like. They're provoking. Oh, that's love. Tell me when you're done. Doesn't matter if it's wrong. There is no wrong. Just put anything that's not negative, anything positive. Doesn't matter if it doesn't sound amazing. Just go with the gut. Go from the heart. Go with the gut. Okay, are you done there? Ethan, nearly done. Right, when you're done, what I want you to do is number them. And the first line, I want you to number one. Second line, I want you to number eight. Third line, I want you to number two. Fourth line, I want you to number seven. Next line, I want you to number three. The next line, I want you to number six. And then four. And finally, five. And then what I want you to do is write them all out in order. So at the top, I want you to write out line one. And then I want you to write out line two, which is now somewhere else. Really? Oh, yeah. Okay, it's good stuff. That's good. So yeah, you're going to write them out again, but using a different order, so that it'll be the line with the number one, the line with the number two, the line with number three. So do them in order. Put them all in order. And then you should end up with an order like that, so that the first one reflects the last one, and it gradually goes towards the middle. And then what I want, if people are willing to do this, is for someone from each group to read them out as a praise to the Lord. And that'll be wonderful. We'll wait until the kids come in to do that. I'm looking for the man in the mirror. In the mirror. Change. La, 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 la. Going to. Maybe finish with that if we get time. You done? Oh, wonderful. Are we all done? Are you done, Jen, your group? Okay, right. Guys, should we give the kids a shout? Get the kids in, because I think they've got something to share as well. Do you want to see what sort of state they're at? Well done, guys. I think the children have got something to share. We've got something to share as well. Can we alternate? So we've got three children. Oh, is it okay? Yeah, children, do you want to go first?
So the three kids have written a poem. They've done it as a collaborative effort, but they're going to read a verse each, and we're going to start with Bronwyn.
God, you bring happiness to the world. God, you are a unique king. God, thank you for being our Father and for being forgiven.
Jesus, you're my Saviour. Thank you for being my brother. I know you will be with me till the end.
Holy Spirit, thank you for living inside me. Thank you for making me brave. You're my comforter and my friend, and you bring awesomeness.
Yeah. Kids, they are amazing. Well done. Fantastic. Real creative. That's fantastic. We've been learning about the song that Zechariah, the dad of John the Baptist, sang. That's been inspiring us to be creative. So we've written some songs to God, some psalms, we call them. Like a psalm, the word psalm means to pluck the strings. That's what it means. And it really just means a song, really, a poem, a song to God. So who wants to go first then, first group? Come on, let's give them a bit of encouragement.
Our Lord is a loving God. He is always faithful. His wonders are awesome. He is respectful in all his ways. Showed me how to be respectable. Our God is an awesome God. To him I shall be faithful. Loving God is easy.
Yay! Thanks, guys. Well done. Okay, what's the next one?
Ours has got a title. Trust in you. I can always trust in you. You are the great Redeemer. I know you will always provide for me. I will always love you. Because whatever I do, your love is always with me. And you have provided me with your one and only Son. I know that as my Redeemer, I have eternal life. You have shown that my trust is not misplaced.
Yeah! You can take it. Okay, who's next? You sound great. It's like reading scripture, isn't it? I always insist on Walker's crisps. Go on, Lo.
Lord, you are always faithful, and I really appreciate that. You have always been so caring, always holy, never so far from honesty. For honesty, you are always obeyed. Holy surrounds your name, caring for every existing thing. Thank you for being faithful forever.
Hey, well done. Okay, guys, well done.
Thank you for being gracious to us. You fill us with joy. With you, we have peace. You are the great healer. Our healer deserves our praise. Your peace surrounds us. Your joy causes us to overflow. Your gracious way has made us thankful.
Yeah, these are great, guys. Well, I'm amazed. There's so much creativity here. And hopefully that's encouraged each one of us to maybe be a bit more creative. You know, there's so many different things in the Bible. I don't know if you're aware, but there's Psalms that every single line starts with a different letter of the alphabet. There's things like that. There's different ways of expressing thanks and praise to God. So let's use this as a springboard, and let's, in our praise and our worship of God, let's be as creative as we can be. But let's also sing that song of praise, which is saying, Lord, thank you for your grace. And let's also allow the Lord to release our tongues and to share more of what he's put within us. Because it's been great this morning, isn't it? It's been really encouraging to hear the creativity of God's people. And God's been blessed by that as well. I wonder if we can finish by breaking bread together and just thanking Jesus for who he is and what he's done. So we've got some bread and wine here. No, we haven't. But yeah, been handed out some cups.